So who's really to blame for the European debt crisis?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. The Greek government today will talk about the latest round of cuts to make sure that country continues to get rescue loans from the international community. Meanwhile, German Chancellor Angela Merkel today said her country will continue to make every effort to preserve European unity while holding troubled countries responsible for the crisis. But one financial commentator says the trouble doesn't just lie with Greece. It lies with, and other debt countries, it lies with Germany as well. And Jeremy Warner is with the Daily Telegraph in London, and he joins us now. Hi, Jeremy.
Morning.
So why should Germany be on the hook for this debt mess?
Germany is the great powerhouse of the European economy. It has the power either to break or save the euro, yet it doesn't seem prepared to do the things that would save it, and it's not prepared to break it either by leaving itself and allowing the southern periphery to go off on its own and do its own thing. So that is essentially the problem.
When you move past the finger-pointing, we do know that Greece is on this unsustainable fiscal course, as are other European countries. I mean, can the Eurozone come up with a solution?
I don't think they can in its current form. There just simply aren't the mechanisms to allow for the sort of fiscal transfers that are necessary, the sort of stuff that you've got in the United States to rebalance things between more prosperous states and less prosperous ones. Those mechanisms don't exist in Europe at the moment. Look, the problem you've got is Europe has moved towards monetary union without having political and fiscal union. They put the cart before the horse. And that's fundamentally what is causing the current crisis.
Jeremy Warner, financial columnist with The Telegraph in London. Jeremy, thanks.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are higher at the moment. Europe's up an average of 2%. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 140 points to end the day at 11,246. The World Economic Forum is going on right now in China. At the forum's opening session, the Chinese Premier Wen Jiabao said he has confidence in the U.S. economy, but he also said the U.S. should open its market more to investment by Chinese companies, saying it would help create more American jobs. Is he right? Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
It all depends on what kind of investment a Chinese company wants to make in the U.S.
An investment that builds a factory, that builds a piece of infrastructure, that creates jobs. An investment in which the ownership of an asset is transferred from one owner to another, that doesn't create jobs.
Michael Pettis is an economist at Peking University. He says these days, Chinese companies are more interested in acquiring a U.S. company than building U.S. infrastructure. In other words, no new jobs. And most likely, no new investment. Not that there's been much. That's because whenever a big Chinese company is shopping for investments in the U.S., Congress usually gets suspicious about the reasons, says Pettis.
If you're buying for strategic reasons, for military reasons, for political reasons, or if you're buying to transfer technology back home, there are many reasons why you might be buying besides simply the fact that you think you're going to earn a good return on your assets.
China's already becoming a hot-button campaign issue, so don't count on too much investment or job creation from China anytime soon. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
3 years ago today, an investment bank called Lehman Brothers filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. While the global financial system was already cracked by then, Lehman's undoing was a big jolt that sent Wall Street bankers scrambling for help. Phil Angelides chaired the congressional panel called the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission, and he's with us now. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
3 years from the banking collapse, and it seems like the recovery sort of stalled. As far as the financial system goes, and how that relates to people like you and me, where are we?
Well, I think one of the things that's been most, I think, disturbing to the American people is that there's been very little consequence for Wall Street while the rest of the nation has suffered. We've got 24 million people out of work, can't find full-time work. But meanwhile, Wall Street's barely skipped a beat. So it's quite a remarkable story, a sad story here about how Wall Street survived and thrived and the rest of the country has suffered greatly.
There's no doubt the economy's in the tank. Do new regulations, you think, on banks and in the financial sector threaten to do more harm than good?
I don't believe so. From the 1930s through the beginning of the 90s, we had a regulated and stable financial sector, and we had strong economic growth in this country. I think the right thing for the American economy, in many respects, the financial system is the heart of the economy. It's not the place you want, you know, arrhythmia. It's not the place where you want the heart racing. You want stability.
So if we spend too much time looking back at what happened 3 years ago, I mean, do we risk not heading off the next collapse, or like we're not paying attention? Is that what's happening now with the European debt crisis?
First of all, the crisis isn't over. In America and in Europe, we now find our economies buried by the debt created by the rampant speculation of the decade that went before us. What we've got to do is we've got to understand history. We've got to right the wrongs of what occurred. But most importantly, we need to build an economy that's about Americans and jobs, not about a casino on Wall Street. And those are the fundamental steps we need to take if we're going to get back on the road to success.
Former Chairman Phil Angelides of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
And finally, a Danish luxury company is marketing a new item for the elite, a limited edition solid gold 18-karat cell phone that the company's selling for $57,400. It'll call people, sure, but forget about playing Angry Birds. It doesn't come with games, GPS, or even email. But hey, you can melt it down if you need money later in life. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
We need health care and we need jobs, right? So build more hospitals?
We can employ tens of thousands of people for 40 or 50 years, and they would make as much sense as building redundant hospital capacity.
Maybe not. I'm Kai Rizdahl, health care and hired hands, next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, that's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.